thank you. Ah, so good. Hey, can we thank Pastor Jack, everyone? Who loves Pastor Jack and Tiana? Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Look at this top-tier service. Do you have any ice as well? On the rocks, thanks, tonight? No, just kidding. How are you, church? Are you good? Are you happy you're here? Can you sense Jesus in the room? Man, it has been such a joy and a privilege to be here for the last few days. Honestly, we've had an absolute move of God these last 2 days. If you're a teenager and you've experienced the power of God, just give us a wave right now. Come on. Can we just thank Jesus right now, church? Come on. Honestly, like, what we've seen God do in these last 2 days at camp, I believe has been monumental for this youth ministry. I believe that we've crossed over into something new that we're never going back to. And I'm just believing for term three and the rest of the year, there's going to be a spiritual momentum in every Emerge campus, in every church, in every location, as the fire of God becomes a lifestyle for our young people. Can you say amen? I come from Nations Church, and so I bring greetings from my pastors, Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee, from Nations Church in Perth, Western Australia. They're great friends of your pastors. Pastor Ken's actually in Sydney at the moment, preaching with Revive Church, used to be Padisham AOG, but he sends his greetings. And honestly, it's such an honour and a privilege to be with you tonight. I get to oversee the youth and the young adults at our church. I've been on church staff for 10 years now. I'm married. I've been married for 4 years to one wife, praise God. And, you know, one and done, that's my rule, that's what I say. And so her name is Sydney. We get to oversee the youth and young adults ministry. We have about 400 teenagers and we have about 200 or 300 young adults. So probably about 600 to 800 youth and young adults across Nations Church in our 6 locations. But I got to say, all of that aside, my greatest privilege is seeing people experience the presence and power of Jesus. Because how many of you know one touch from the Holy Spirit in your life is never the same again? One moment in the presence of God and you're never the same again. And I pray for you tonight, if this is your home church or maybe you're new or visiting or you've kind of been coming for a few months, I pray that tonight would be a night that you don't just hear a great sermon. Well, I hope it's great. I pray it's not just a night you hear a sermon, but I pray tonight you encounter Jesus for yourself. That even what God did in this youth camp would get on you. That what the Holy Spirit's birth in this youth ministry would come on you. That we would all leave this place tonight, not because of a man or because of a band or because of a talk, but because the presence of King Jesus filled the temple and he did what he wanted to do. Hey, before I do jump into the Word of God, I just want to give honour where honour is due and really thank the pastors, Pastor Nina and Mark, who's away tonight. But can we thank your pastors tonight? Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. You know, just from the brief exposure I've had these last few days, it's so clear that you're generational leaders, that you've got a passion for the next generation, that you're big-hearted, but you're Holy Spirit people too, and you love God. And I've just been so blessed getting to sit under this house and this ministry. And I know what has happened at this camp and what's even happening tonight doesn't just happen by accident. It happens because of good leaders who steward what God does. And so I just want to say from my pastors and from me, thank you for your yes to Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness to God. Thank you to Pastor Mark as well for having me. Come on, church, one more time. Can we thank your pastors tonight? Seriously, amazing. Well, Emerge Church, Warner, 5:30 p.m. service. Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Are you so ready you brought your Bible with you? Is there any Bibles in the building? Let's go. If you got your Bible, wave it in the air like you just don't care. I love it. We got Bibles everywhere. Come on. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn me to the book of Leviticus. Turn to your neighbor, say Leviticus. I want to go to Leviticus chapter number 6. We're going to read a couple of verses of scripture. We're going to preach and then we're going to pray for God's power to fill this place. And my prayer is that you would experience the Holy Spirit in a way you never have before. Leviticus chapter 6, verse number 12. It says this. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar. Someone say fire. Fire. Turn to your neighbor and say fire. Fire. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Someone say never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood. Someone say fresh wood. To the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. The title of my sermon tonight, it's a very simple message. I was kind of wrestling this afternoon in my hotel because I so desperately wanted, if I'm honest and transparent, I wanted to preach something that would make you think I'm a good preacher and impress you. But what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart is a simple message. But how many of you know Jesus said you got to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God? So if you're taking notes tonight, from the oldest to the youngest, the title of the sermon is simply this: how to keep the fire burning. Because it's my prayer and it's my belief, God doesn't just want to set us on fire, He wants us to stay on fire. And I want to tell you tonight, the fire of God is not a youth ministry thing, it's a Jesus thing. The fire of God is not a Pentecostal thing, it's a Jesus thing. The fire of God isn't even an Azusa Street thing, it's a Jesus thing. And my prayer for you, no matter whether you've experienced the fire back in 1982 or last Sunday or yesterday, my prayer for you tonight isn't that you would just get set on fire. It's that that would transfer into a lifestyle where you stay on fire. Because I want to tell you, our church, our next generation, our Australia, they need people that carry the fire of heaven. They need people that carry the fire of God. I want to tell you, young people need adults, need mums and dads that carry the fire of heaven. We need elderly people that have walked through seasons with Jesus, that have the wisdom of life, but also have the fire of God that can impart that into the next generation. The fire of God, it will change a nation. And my prayer for you tonight isn't that you'd just get set, it's that you'd stay. So right now, all across this place, would you just lift your hands to heaven right where you're seated? Would you just pray this with me? Say, Jesus, I ask you, set me on fire. Say, Jesus, I ask you, help me to stay on fire. I thank you for the gift of your wonderful Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, let's give Jesus a wonderful clap of praise. Oh, come on, just for 10 seconds. Just honor, thank, bless. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, God. Oh, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we thank the team tonight? Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. Nice shoes. I like that they're yellow. It's very cool. How to keep the fire burning. I might just come over here. Are all the teenagers over here? Are you guys tired? Or are you okay? Did anyone have less than 3 hours sleep last night? Praise. I just want to apologize to their parents right now. We hope that they're not rat bags tomorrow. Amen. And so, how to keep the fire burning. What's interesting about this passage is that it says each morning the priest will add fresh wood. That the onus of responsibility to keep the fire burning in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, which was a structure that housed the presence of God, wasn't actually God's responsibility. It was the priest's responsibility. See, God will set us on fire, but the responsibility to stay on fire is actually up to you and up to me. The tabernacle or the temple was the place where the Holy Spirit used to dwell in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, when you say yes to Jesus, you get washed clean, you get made brand new, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit no longer lives and resides in buildings, His Spirit resides in people. We don't come to church because God is here. We come to church and God comes because we are here. Hello. And so in the Old Testament, the priest had a responsibility to keep the fire burning. And I remember when I was a young person, I would go to youth camps and I'd get encounters with God. I remember this one encounter I had with God. I shared it at the youth camp. I was 11 years old. Never been to a youth meeting before. My mum forced me to go and I cried my eyes out being like, Mum, don't make me go. Has anyone ever been forced to go to church before? Hello, I'm among family. I cried, I pleaded. I was like, Mom, don't make me go. But my mom is a God-fearing woman and she didn't listen to me. She pushed me into that meeting. I was there and I didn't want to be there. How many of you know when you're in that place, God can still get a hold of you? This preacher gets on the platform and says, hey, if you believe in Jesus, put your hand up. And I was like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. So he's like, hey, if you put up your hand, come down the front. So I came down the front too, and we're just standing around, and this preacher, this is in a small church in New Zealand, all of a sudden goes, there was someone who didn't put up your hand you were meant to, and we're going to pray for you. And I was like, how does this guy know? I've never, I didn't really grow up in this type of environment. So we're waiting for maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes. It feels like forever. Then finally, this guy gets up from the middle. His name was Josh. And I recognized him because he was one of my older brother's friends. And I was like, yeah, Josh should have put up his hand. And so the priest's like, yeah, you bring him forward. And he comes forward and places a hand on Josh. And Josh just falls unconscious and lays there lifeless on the ground. I'm looking at Josh. I look at the preacher. I'm like, you've just killed Josh. What's happened to Josh? And then I'm freaking out. I've never seen this before. I didn't grow up watching Benny Hinn. This is not normal. I grew up watching VeggieTales. Hello, somebody. And so let's go. Man, that was the biggest amen I've had. And so I'm freaking out. I'm like, what's going on? And then the next words out of this pastor's mouth is, hey, if that's the first time you've seen that, don't be afraid. It's just the power of God. Come on, we're going to pray. And then he says, why didn't you lift your hands? I'm like, whatever you say. And so my hands are lifted. He places a hand on my head. And I tell you, something like electricity, a lightning bolt struck my body. It was so over. No one pushed me. No one forced me. But I fell to the floor. I fell unconscious. And the power of God hit my life. When I regained consciousness, there were like people all over the room wailing and crying out to God. Have you ever seen there's a difference between nice crying and ugly crying? You know, the nice crying where it's like the one single teardrop down the cheek as Darlene checks things, shout to the Lord, and the camera team zooms in. This wasn't that. This was people going, Jesus! So what is happening? People screaming, well, I was like, where am I? And as I'm having these thoughts, it's like this well of emotion explodes in my chest. And without anyone needing to tell me to do it, without anyone leading me into it, all of a sudden I start to cry out the name Jesus. I begin to bawl my eyes out for the next 2 hours on that carpet as the presence, as the love of God washes over me, wave after wave. See, I knew about God, but God was out there somewhere. But in that moment, God reached down and touched my life. He got a hold of my life. I didn't need you to explain it to me. God introduced himself to me. The fire of God got on my life. The power of God touched me, and I was never the same. Same again. How many of you know when you've experienced the power of God, you can never be the same? And maybe for you, it wasn't quite like that. Maybe for you, it was a little bit different. Maybe for you, it happened at a youth camp or maybe on a Sunday service when some of the team was preaching a ministry, but you felt something and God did something. And these moments we remember in God. But as I graduated from being 11 years old into high school, my lifestyle no longer followed Jesus. In fact, if I'm honest, I cared a lot more about fitting in with my friends than I did following God. And so I started to say the same swear words. I started to go to the same parties. I started to drink the same drinks. I didn't deny God, but I just didn't follow him anymore. And that fire that I had dwindled down and down until it got to the point where I'd cry myself to sleep at night because I felt so alone, felt so empty, felt like no one loved me, no one understood. I didn't even want to live my life anymore because of what was going on inside. See, God set me on fire, but I did not stay on fire. And it wasn't until I was 14 when I made a decision. I said, God, my life sucks. I'd rather my life suck and live for you than my life suck and live for me. That was my prayer. That was the profound moment. I was at a church event with 10,000 people and I was right up the back and I didn't even respond to the altar. I just prayed in my heart, God, I hate my life. You can have it. That was my prayer. But how many of you know God can do a lot with that prayer? Nothing changed in that moment, but after that moment, everything began to change. I got plugged into the house of God. I started making church a non-negotiable in my life. I started going to youth ministry. I started opening up this book and getting into the Word every single day. I got baptized in the Swan River in 2010 on Australia Day, January 26th. I went to a summer camp. And as I started following God, all of a sudden, God started touching me once again. See, some of us, we're waiting for God to touch us and then we'll follow him. I want to tell you tonight, sometimes God wants to touch us as we follow him. Sometimes your transformation doesn't happen just in one moment. Sometimes your transformation happens as you follow Jesus. The same Jesus said to one blind man, your faith has made you well. Instantly he could see. He said to another blind man, here's some mud, put it in your eyes. Now go and wash. How do you know that's a bad deal? Especially if you heard about the guy that got the instantaneous, you know what I mean? But we can't say that one's right and that one's wrong just because he had to go on a journey and he got an instantaneous. It's the same Jesus. I want to tell you, sometimes Jesus takes you on a journey, but just because it's a journey doesn't mean Jesus isn't in it.
But as I began to follow God again, as I began to give my life to God as a young person, bit by bit, moment by moment, week by week, I felt the anointing and the fire of God come on my life. But not just for a moment. He taught me a lifestyle to sustain the fire that he'd given me. And tonight, I just want to give us three keys in this place. Everyone say three keys that I believe can help you and equip you to remain on fire for God. I want to speak to every teenager that was at our youth camp these last 2 days. You might have had the most significant encounter in your life. You might have experienced God in a way you never have before. But I want to tell you, Monday's coming tomorrow. School's rolling around. And camp isn't going to be there on Tuesday. But you know who will be there? Jesus Christ. And I think it's so important that you let this moment when you're passionate, when you're on fire, let it translate into a daily lifestyle. So it's not just a moment that happened. It's now a lifestyle that you live in. Can you say amen tonight? And so three keys to keeping the fire burning. And like I said before, it's a simple message. It's not anything profound. It's very childlike. But point number one is simply this. If you're taking notes, read your Bible every day. It almost seems silly to say in church to read your Bible, but we live in a generation where the Word of God is all of a sudden optional. Well, we'd rather get our theology from TikTok and reels rather than the King of Kings and the Word of God. I want to tell you, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. If you want to be someone that carries the fire of heaven and keeps it, if you want to be someone that's influential for God, this needs to be non-negotiable in your life. We can't just open it on a Sunday. We can't just open it when the Spirit of God convicts us. We've got to get a habit of getting into it every day. You can't just brush your teeth every time your breath is bad. You got to have a habit of it daily because your breath will be bad without you realizing it. It's the same with the Word of God. We can't wait till we're like, oh man, I'm feeling a bit dry. No, the Bible says the priest needs to lay a log on every day. Someone say every day. Our hunger for God needs to translate into an everyday lifestyle. I want to challenge you, and I know there's a lot of, I say maturity, not necessarily from age, but just history with God in this room tonight. There's people that you've followed and served Jesus for decades, and I understand there are people in this place that you've got this down packed and you're in the Word daily, but I just want to encourage you tonight as a brother, or really a son in Christ, to let yourself fall in love with the Word of God again. Because the Word of God, friend, is alive, is active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is able to deliver. It's able to divide soul and spirit. Jesus said this in Matthew 4, verse 4. No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word. Someone say every word. That comes from the mouth of God. Every word from Genesis to Revelation is from the mouth of God. And friend, it is food to your soul. If we stop eating, we'll get malnourished and weak. If we stop consuming the Word of God, our spirit starts to be malnourished and weak. And the last thing we need is more Christians with weak spirits. We need Christians who are filled with strength, who are nourished, who are full of fire. And the route into that way is a daily lifestyle in the Word of God. For me, this became really real when I was about 21, 22 years old. And I heard something in my ear one day. Heard a whisper saying, if you do that, I won't forgive you. And I was like, is that God? What is that? Anyway, I didn't think too much of it. And I ended up doing what I was thinking I was going to do. And I was like, what if I've just done something and now I can't be forgiven? And this thought entered into my mind where I was like, oh my gosh, God's abandoned me. God's left me. I'm not forgiven. I'm not right with God. I'm not loved by Jesus. And this didn't just last for a week or for a month, but this went for over a year. And the thoughts went from ideas to torment very quickly, where I would be at altars and preachers would come. And you know when the prophet's in town is like, you're going to go to Africa and see souls. You're going to raise millions of dollars. You're going to be a pastor. Fire. You're going to be used. And I was that one. And I was like, what's happened, God? And I would misinterpret my experiences through the lens that I'm not right with God. And what Jesus had to do was to teach me, man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by experience alone. Man does not live by Sunday night altars. No, man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so I started getting the word like there's no tomorrow. I started reading passages that would talk about he who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I would read passages like he who did not spare his own son but graciously gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him freely give us all things? I read passages that would say it is by faith we are saved through grace. And this is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. So no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship. I would read scriptures that would testify it's not by my works, it's by the blood of Jesus. And I would believe it and wrestle and get challenged because my experience didn't match up to my confession. This went on for about a year and a half until one day I got my iPad out. Must have been about 21, 22, so about 8 or 9 years ago now, 30 next month, August 15th. I do like gifts too, so praise God. My address is too good. No, what's that? But I was 21 years old. One Saturday, I was like, I'm so done with this spirit of torment. I decided to get every scripture that I'd read in the Bible about being right with God, and I made a note in my iPad. And I said, God, every day I'm going to declare these over my life until it breaks. And so I got them out, and I had about, honestly, 70 scriptures. And I stood there for 30 minutes and declared, 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 declared. The next day I'm at church. That Sunday night, we had a man of God come to town, and I walked up to the front altar. I got on my knees, and he prayed for me, and he walked off. And in that moment, I had an encounter with Jesus, which totally transformed my life. As I was kneeling there, I felt Jesus come and stand before me at that altar call. And as he stood there, I just got undone in his presence as his glory and his love washed over me. And the man of God, as he moved on, he said these words, a broken and contrite heart, you will not despise. And then he moved on. And then Jesus came and stood there. And as he stood there, I physically felt this spirit of oppression lift off my life. And I laid there on the floor for I don't know how long, but I was weeping, I was wailing as the love, as every scripture that I had sown into my soul started to bear fruit in that moment. I want to tell you, sometimes you read the word of God, it doesn't make sense, but Jesus says it will make sense later. And so I want to tell you, just because you read it doesn't make sense doesn't mean it's not working, it's taking root inside of you. There were scriptures that I read coming alive, and I got convinced and convicted in that moment that I am actually right, not because of what I've done, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And as I laid there like a bubbling mess in the presence of God, another man of God came up to me, just placed a hand on my back. Never forget the next words, Father, I thank you, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. I got hit by God again. That torment left, and it wasn't just mental, it was physical. The spiritual world is very real, friend. But God delivered me not just because I was hungry for an altar call, he delivered me because I got into the word. Point number one tonight, to keep the fire burning, the logs you've got to add to the fire is the word of God. Young people, I want to tell you, if you don't have a regular rhythm of the word of God, now is the time to get into one. When you get into the word of God, it changes you. And sometimes it's hard to start by going straight to scripture. And I don't know about you, are there any coffee lovers in the place tonight? Who loves a good coffee? Let's go. I started loving coffee, and I didn't start with double espressos. I started with a mocha. Hello, somebody. But very quickly, it's a slippy slope, and the mocha turns into a cappuccino, and then the cappuccino goes into the latte, and then the latte goes into the latte with the extra shot. Hello. And then the extra shot latte goes to the piccolo. I'm at the piccolo stage right now. I know what's coming next. It's the double espresso, and then I think it's meth after that. And so I'm like here, so I'm okay so far. But the point of it is this, is that I didn't start with double espressos, I started with mochas. I want to tell you, if reading chapters of the Bible is difficult, just start with something small. Start with one verse, start with a sermon, start with a Christian book that's got scripture in it. Get the word inside of you, because very soon that's not going to be strong enough. You're going to need to take the next step and go, I'm getting a Bible reading plan. I'm getting into the word. I'm reading two chapters. I'm doing a soap study. Start small and let the hunger grow and let the word grow inside of you, because God wants to bring breakthrough through his word. Can you say amen? I also apologize if that joke was inappropriate. I'll know if Pastor Ken texts me tomorrow. Point number one. Read your Bible every day. Point number two, very quickly, I'm just going to move through these points. And if the band actually could come join me, attend church weekly.
I believe we need to restore a holy reverence for the house of God once again. Religion is dangerous, but in our attempt to not be religious, I think we've forsaken some of the sacredness of God's house. There is something you can only get here, you can't get by yourself. We all know scripture that says, Hebrews 10:25, do not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But have you considered, why does the Bible say that? Why do we need to meet together? Well, Jesus said, where two or more gathered, there I am in the midst. Not where you are gathered with yourself, but where two or more are gathered, that's when Jesus comes. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 5, where he says this. He says, I will be with you in spirit, and so, someone say, and so, will the power of the Lord Jesus. See, friend, there's something holy about this meeting tonight. As you come and as I come, Jesus comes as we gather in his name. I want to challenge you, make a conviction to be in the house of God as a non-negotiable every week. I want to encourage you to pray the prayer of Joshua. As for me and my house, I will worship the Lord. I will serve the Lord. Teenagers, I want to challenge you. It's time to make Friday night sacred once again. Maybe for you, you feel like God's moved in your life at Emerge Youth Camp, and your next step is being, you know what? This church is now going to be my church. Sunday mornings, I'm going to be in the house of God. Friday nights, I'm going to be, I don't care what party happens. I don't care how busy I am with school. Make the decision now before busyness comes that the house of God is more important than your study. Seek first the kingdom and then everything else to be given to you. We live in a generation that saves its best yes for everything but Jesus. We say yes to work, yes to sport, yes to relationships, and we say, if it works and I feel like it, to God. But God wants to restore a reverence for his house. I want to speak to every member of this church. If you call this your spiritual home, bless your own life by prioritizing it every week. Just like fire needs wood to stay alight, it also needs oxygen, it needs the right atmosphere. You can add the wood of the word, but you need to be in the atmosphere of God's people. Maybe you're new or visiting, or you've been here for a few months and you're looking for a church. I want to tell you, this is a good church to plug yourself into so that you can grow in your walk with God. Point number one, read your word daily. Point number two, attend church weekly. And point number three is simply this, always be hungry for a fresh encounter. Acts chapter 2. It says, on the day of Pentecost, there all the believers were meeting in one place when suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty storm. Filled the entire house where they were sitting, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone who was present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Acts chapter 2. Doesn't say that most of them, it actually says everyone. The prerequisite for being filled was actually just being in the right room. You want to know how important your attendance at church is? It's so important that when God comes, if you're in the room, you get some of what he's got. Everyone present was filled, touched by God. And then we continue to read the Bible in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are at the gate called Beautiful, and then they get imprisoned, and then they get released, and then they get back to the believers in Acts chapter 4. They say this prayer in verse number 30, it says, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled. Someone say all filled. With faith in your heart, say all filled. With the Holy Spirit, then they preached the word of God with boldness. Wait. We've got Acts chapter 2 over here. Saying on the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty sound like a windstorm and they were all filled. And then we've got Acts chapter 4, which says after this place, the meeting place shook and they were all filled. There were people in Acts 4 that were present in Acts 2. So what's the scriptural conclusion? The scriptural conclusion for you and I today is that just because God's filled you once doesn't mean he won't fill you again. You might have been filled once in 1982. You might have been filled once when you were at a youth camp as a teen. You might have been filled 3 weeks ago. But I want to tell you, if you've had an Acts 2 moment, you're on your way to an Acts 4 encounter. There's another filling. There's another encounter. There's another fire with your name on it. And if you read the text, the
The first account, there was a windstorm that filled the house. The second account, the whole place was shaken. God doesn't just want to fill you. He wants to increase His fire on you. I want to tell us tonight, the only way to sustain the fire of God in our lives is to stay hungry for more of God. The only way we can guard what God has given us is a posture of hunger for the more He has for us. Jesus puts it this way in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 verse 16. He says, blessed, someone say blessed. Sorry, 5 verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger. Have you noticed that the blessing isn't on the filling, it's on the hungry? It doesn't say blessed are those who are filled, no. Blessed are those who are hungry. Why is that? Well, the filled is just evidence of what you were hungry for yesterday. But the hunger is evidence of what you'll be filled with tomorrow. It's actually not about how filled are you, it's how hungry are you. It's not about what has God done, and we celebrate and we're grateful and we're thankful for what God's done, but a better question is how hungry are we for what God wants to do next? Because I want to tell you, the fire of God is not a one-off event. The Spirit of God being poured out is not just a moment we tick through to get to a better day. No, the Spirit of God poured out in Pentecost is still being poured out today. God said through the prophet Joel, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So if you've got breath in your lungs, if you're alive and you're in this room, you've got to know this, that God's got a fresh touch for you. But the position for it isn't actually hard work or how good a Christian, it's simply how hungry are you? And I've noticed when it comes to hunger, there are two things I've noticed that rob people of our hunger. The first thing is familiarity. Jesus in his own hometown, he starts preaching and healing, and they're like, this guy's amazing. Who is this guy's awesome. Wait a second, isn't this Joseph's son? Doesn't his sisters and brothers live here amongst? And they took offense at him. Then the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, and he could not do any mighty works because of their unbelief. See, their familiarity with Jesus robbed them of their own encounter. Not that Jesus would not do, but he could not do. And sometimes we can read the Bible and think, well, that's classic them. How bad are them? But we need to insert ourselves in the scripture, friend, and realize that Jesus got this in the Bible because he's talking to us. That we can view our church, we can view our pastors, we can view our services just like they did in Nazareth and say, wait a second, isn't that Pastor Mark who's preached to this church millions? Isn't that the same altar that we did those games at? Oh, no, I'm used to this. I've seen this thing before. I've had this happen. And we allow familiarity to rob us of honor. And what happens is we rob ourselves of an encounter with God. Sometimes your encounters won't come from the man of God from elsewhere. Sometimes they're going to come from the pastor that you've served under for years. Sometimes young people, they're going to come from your connect leaders. Sometimes it's going to be on a random Sunday morning. But I want to tell you, don't let familiarity rob your hunger. Stay desperate. Stay hungry. Stay leaning in because God's got more for you. We must never allow familiarity, what we think we know. They thought they knew Jesus because they had history. Sometimes we feel comfortable because we see people all the time. We forget that they're men and women of God that carry something in God. I tell you, when my wife gets up to preach or minister, as much as she's my wife, I'm hungry for God. This isn't just Matt's wife, Sydney. I'm listening to let's give her some food. I'm like, God, this is a woman of God. If you want to touch me, I'm open to what you want to do. The number one robber is familiarity. Number two is this offense. And I really just felt I wanted to highlight this for this service, and we're going to pray. It's sometimes the way God wants to minister to you will be offensive to your mind. And it's actually a litmus test from God to actually calibrate and test the humility of your heart. That anyone can say, I'm hungry for God, but are you so hungry for God that you're happy for Him to come however He wants to come? Or are you hungry for God and saying, I'm hungry for God, but I want it to be on my terms and my way? That, yeah, I'm hungry for God, but He can touch me if He wants. He knows where to find me. I'll be at the back of the room. He can get me. And friend, He can get you there. But sometimes the way God wants to minister to you is through something that's offensive to your mind, because he wants to test the sensitivity of your heart. See, there was a Syrophoenician woman in the Bible who came to Jesus because her daughter was demon-possessed and needed deliverance. And she came to the disciples first and was like, please get him to deliver my child. And the disciples told her off and got her away. Then she pushes past his security team and finally gets to Jesus. And you would think, oh, perfect. Here's sweet Jesus who's going to tell his disciples off for being rude, and he's going to give this woman what she came for. And the woman goes, Jesus, teacher, my daughter, she needs deliverance, but if you say the word, I believe she'll be free, please. And then Jesus turns around and he says, this woman, it's not right to take from the children and give to the dogs. How many of you know that's a little bit offensive? He's implying that the children of Israel are the children of God and the Gentiles, which she was, are the dogs. I don't know about you, but I don't remember ever calling a woman that and it going well. This is Jesus, and you're like, Jesus, are you having a bad day? Like, what's going on? Oh my gosh. You're like, you could imagine the news headlines, local pastor calls woman an animal, you know, just ACC accountability swoops on in and all this stuff. You just made it be an uproar. But Jesus did not say that to push her away. He said that to test her. Because what was her response? She said, Master, even the dogs eat the crumbs that come from under the master's table. In other words, that's right. The bread belongs to the children. But if you're saying my position is a dog, I'm willing to get low enough. I'm willing to get down enough. I'm willing to come humble and hungry. That if breakthrough looks like crumbs on the floor, my answer is yes to you already. I don't care. It doesn't need to be a silver platter on a plate. I'm hungry for you. And Jesus was so impressed with her response of humility and faith. She says, "What?" He goes, wow, your daughter is healed. And instantly she got breakthrough. See, you might be in this place, you're like, man, I'm hungry for God, but you see someone fall over and you're like, oh, I don't know about that. You see someone shake and it's like, I'm not sure about that. Or see someone laugh and it's like, yeah, I don't know if that's for me. What if your breakthrough is on the other side of that? What if your deliverance from literal demonic attack or your deliverance from depression is on the other side of God making you look silly in front of your family? And we're like, no, I need to look good because my family's here. My friend I invited's here. I want to tell you, God wants a generation of people that are so hungry, that are so thirsty, that say, God, I don't care how you come. God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care if I shake. I don't care if I run. I don't care if I feel nothing at all. I'm hungry for you. I don't allow offense to get in the way. I don't allow familiarity to get in the way. I'm thirsty for a fresh touch of you, Lord Jesus. I want to ask you tonight, church, how hungry are you? Because God doesn't just want to set us on fire. He wants to keep us on fire. Number one, read our Bible every day. Number two, get planted in the house of God. And number three, stay hungry for another encounter with God. How hungry are you tonight? I even just sense right now, even as I'm preaching, some of you, it's like you can feel your heart racing inside of you. That's not the atmosphere. That's God, friend, saying, hey, I've got something for you. I've learned that when I'm in a meeting and all of a sudden my spirit comes alive, that's an indicator that the Holy Spirit's got something for me. I want to tell you tonight, if your heart's like, man, I just feel like God's got something for me tonight, that is an evidence to you that the Holy Spirit wants to touch your life. And I want to challenge you in these next few moments as we open this altar, as we pray, to respond in hunger, to respond in faith. And I believe it's not just our teenagers that are getting touched. I believe the whole church is going to be filled afresh with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Come on, would you stand to your feet? Would you put away your books all across this place? Maybe there are some people in this place and you've made inner vows to yourself and you've said things like, I'll never fall over. That won't be me. I'll never cry in church. That's not my personality. Can I challenge you tonight to consider that maybe that is the exact rock of offense that Jesus has placed in your way because he wants to give you breakthrough, but it looks different to how you want it to come. See, friend, you're looking cool and your dignity is not high on God's priority list when it comes to the power of heaven. I was at a meeting in Melbourne and I was with my youth staff team. This was a couple of years ago and I was just hungry for God. God gave me a picture of us getting called out
and being prayed for. And so this conference happened and that did not happen. And it came to after the conference had finished and there was a senior leaders meeting. And one of my friends who worked at the church was like, yeah, come on in. So I got dragged into this meeting with like 40, 50 people in the room. Me and my team were up the back, and straight away as I walked in, someone was preaching, one of the guest speakers, and the local pastor was like, yeah, you guys, come up. And they called us up the front. I stood there and just lifted my hands, and I had this encounter with God that so marked my life. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't Instagram worthy. It was all over the place, if I'm totally honest. I'd heard about in Romans 8 where they talk about groans in the spirit too deep for words. I never experienced that before. But the power of God hit me and I got so drunk with the spirit, I fell down on my youth pastor, Josh, at the time, and he couldn't move and I couldn't move. And for about 20 minutes, the only sound I could make was, ooh. 20 minutes straight of this weird sound, and I'm like, in my mind, what is going on? Why is this happening? But the power of God's hitting me on body. I'm out of control, and I'm apologizing to people around me. Like, I'm so sorry, you know. I'm all over the place, and I tell you, man, I feel silly. I'm like, I can't even string words together. I understand why they thought they were drunk in Acts chapter 2, because I was in my mind like, how the heck am I going to get back to my apartment today? I can't even stand up right now. My wife's there, our youth pastor, our junior high youth pastor, got touched by God. And I tell you what, something shifted in our ministry that day. In that next 2 months, we saw 200 people come to youth for the first time. We saw a wave of salvations come to our ministry. We saw God's glory break out in ways we've never seen. People would come to our services and all of a sudden, the power would touch them. Not even without anyone praying, a Muslim girl came to our church on a Friday night, and in the middle of worship, the power of God hits her and she starts weeping and shaking and crying at the salvation appeal. She's the first one to respond. We had someone come who fractured their foot and their cast was getting made at the hospital, but we've got a team that are filled with the fire of God, and so they prayed and God instantly healed her ankle right there and then. She gets up on the platform holding the moon boot, being like, this was what I was meant to be wearing, and God touched her. See, friend, we need the fire of God, not just because it's for fun, but because Australia needs it. The best thing you can do for your workplace is be a man or woman of God that carries the fire. The best thing you can do for your teenager is be an example to them of how it looks to carry the fire. The best thing you can do for your grandkids, for your team, is carry the fire of heaven. But as fire falls, not randomly, it falls on those who are hungry. So I ask you tonight, how hungry are you? How thirsty are you? All across this place, would you close your eyes? Would you lift your hands? Jesus. We love you. We honor you. Right now, I want every person who's hungry for God to say this out loud. Say, Jesus, I ask you tonight, fill me with your fire. I want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I give you permission, however you want, whatever it looks like, I say yes to you. Fill me with your fire. Fill me with your glory. Fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, would you shout amen?